Isabel Gutierrez. And guys, we have a packed show. Talk about.
Yeah, I know.
Not a lot of stuff to talk about here at the top of the show.
No, big doings in San Diego, right? I'm going this weekend.
Yeah. There's going to be some people that are dressed in crazy costumes.
Yeah.
They're homeless.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to rate them.
No, it's true. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to, it wasn't a joke.
Yeah. Oh.
We always like to warm up the crowd. We'll get something sad right at the top.
Well, there are a lot of social issues that we should talk about.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys want to talk about debt thing that happened? We're all pretty happy about that.
We all escaped into a fantasy land.
Yeah, so let's escape even further.
Even deeper.
By welcoming out our guests for tonight, they have a new digital comic called Power Play that is hitting on Comixology very soon, so we're very excited to have them. Ladies and gentlemen, Riley Brown and Kurt Christensen. Welcome to the show, guys.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
Great.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming. Let's talk about Paraplay. So this is a comic you guys are working on together that's going to be released digitally. But as we found out backstage, you guys don't actually have any digital platforms.
I used to have one of the very first Google smartphone, and I loved it, but then I couldn't afford to pay T-Mobile anymore. So now I have a work BlackBerry, which, you know, it shows up on, but, you know, I talked, because I work at the Daily News, so I used my Daily News contacts to get us a tablet. Right? Free tablets to San Diego. So Riley, here you go. You got a great new tablet. It's got a stylus. It's got great. It's great. It connects to the Amazon store, not the Droid Market, so we can't
get Comixology. Comixology, not on Amazon.
Right? What is this?
Who Amazon did? Yet.
Yeah. No one told me.
That's a firewall.
Yeah.
The technology is, I mean, because this is like the first year of digital comics. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
first full year.
Yeah. 50. I mean, you know, whichever.
But Marvel and DC have now signed on, so it's like official. But what's the tablet to get? You know, like I'm researching, but it seems like there's all these pitfalls.
Well, I do want to point out that. If you just have a regular computer, like your laptop, you can go to the Comixology website and read it through there. You don't have to have fancy new technology.
That's a great point.
Yes.
What about paper?
Paper still exists.
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let's actually talk about the book. So Power Play, what's the basic idea? What's the big idea?
It's like in hockey when you're down a man.
Yeah. basic premise.
Man, there are so many things I didn't understand about that sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
Hockey?
Men.
Sport?
The basic premise is that it's extreme sport, like the X Games, but with superpowers instead of skateboards. So, basically a bunch of characters get powers one way or another. Oftentimes, powers associated with the neighborhood that they live in or the industry that they're in or whatever subculture they're part of. And rather than putting their underwear on the outside and trying to save the world or try to take over the world, they start an extreme sports league. So.
Cool. I read the preview of it. There's a character who comes from Gowanus. What's his name again?
Gowanus Speed. He's by far our fan favorite. He was pretty much the first character we came up with.
Yeah.
It's Riley Studios over.
My art studio is right over the Gowanus Canal, right by the drawbridge there. And I don't know if you've ever been.
Drawbridges!
Pollution!
Big audience full of trolls. Big fans.
I don't if you've ever looked at the scenic Gowanus Canal, it's not watercolor. There's all sorts of strange things floating in it.
It barely behaves like water at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't move, and it's solid.
I grew up next to the Erie Canal, so when I'm homesick, I walk over the Gowanus.
Oh, okay. Is it a similar thing?
Yeah. People actually canoe this thing. Gowanus dredgers is what they're called, and they actually canoe the Gowanus Canal.
And so the gag was simply, if you fell into the Gowanus Canal, you would not come out as the same kind of person.
There's a party venue, an outdoor party venue somewhere over there?
The Gowanus Yacht Club?
No.
Guanos, yeah.
That's exists.
It's a bar.
It's a bar. I live in that neighborhood. Yeah. No, there's like, it's got some trees and there's like a factory that it's repurposed for a thing. I was at a party there once and there were all the, I heard all these noises from the water. I went out there. I was like, oh, look at all those frogs. But they weren't frogs. They were like just round holes in the water that were like blurbling.
Interestingly enough,
did you run for your life because a monster was coming next?
It was all over the whole garden.
Yeah, interestingly enough, Lovecraft comes from Red Hook. So,
yeah,
I mean, if you've seen Gowanus Pete, you know, the connections between him and Cthulhu.
People love tentacles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're all
fans. Tentacles out there, and
I know it's
people
your
come running.
Yes.
No. I'm a hentai person.
No.
Yeah, you're really doing a good job with the bitches.
Yeah. People love tentacles. I'm not into hentai. Let me be clear.
Because I know the specific word.
One thing that I thought was actually really cool about reading it, at least on my iPhone, and I don't know what like the larger tablet experience is. Yes, yes. For iPhones.
You're just bragging. You're like, I have an iPhone.
Yeah.
Especially these guys admit that they just have one, and you're like, well,
I could say I had a blender, and they would be jealous.
I'm sorry.
They're talking about tablets.
Imagine if we had frozen tablets.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm very proud of the Game Boy Color. So.
What I liked particularly about it is you guys had clearly built it for this aspect ratio. There was one panel per screen, essentially, and there were nice fades. There were things where you'd go, it was almost cinematic in a way, where you'd go from action shot of a character to freeze on that character with description. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, first of all, you mentioned the size of the thing. It's programmed to be exactly the same on the tablet as it would on the iPhone. Like, it's not going to be any different, just going to be one panel per screen. And one of the things we really wanted to do with this comic was use the technology to make a comic specifically for it. So if you look at most comics that you have on Comixology or Graphically or any of those comic book apps, they're just print comics that have been scanned in and kind of crammed into this technology. And then, you know, it's pretty cool the way that the camera moves around. But when I saw that, I was like, you know what? There's new storytelling possibilities here that people aren't utilizing yet. And so, like you were saying, fading from one thing to another, like when Gowanus Pete first shows up, for instance, and you have a picture of him, and then it's the exact same picture, but with you know, the captions and stuff over it. That's something you can't do in print. And so one of the things we really wanted to explore was what can we do, what storytelling techniques can we use here that we couldn't use in print.
Right. Something that I've heard discussed a lot when it comes to projects like this is, where do you draw the line? When does it stop being a comic?
I think when the reader loses control of the piece, I think that's when you're in a motion comics, which is, I think, something completely different, but equally cool, but it crosses the line, you know, because that's what it's about, is it's about the reader's pace. Go back, go forward, you know, that's the turning of the page is still there.
For me, when you stop reading it and start watching it, that's when it stops being a comic. So you see a motion comic, it's really just like the 1960s style, like Kirby animation, where they just take the comic, cut it out, and like move it around on screen. What we're doing is different. Like, you're reading it, you know, you control the pace, like you said.
Yeah. Now, the other question that I had about the preview while I was reading it is this part of a full issue, or is this your sort of, hey, this is a taste of the comic?
This is just the opening for our first issue.
Okay.
Because towards the end of the issue, the preview, you'll see you're introduced to Mac Washington, who's a listless NYU student, doesn't know what he's doing, lives in the dorms by Union Square, and him and his friends are really what we're going to follow through the series, because Mac gets powers in the first thing. Spoiler. But so it's sort of him coming into the games and kind of figuring out a purpose for himself, because he's really bad at sports, he's really bad at school, so. But now he's got powers. Power's got to count for something.
Yeah.
Nope.
No? Not on this show. What sort of extreme sports drinks do you have tied into the...
We're talking a Monster. You know, I think that's the first one, because Monster.
Yeah, sure.
Good title.
Good time.
Great. Nailed it. Talk a little bit about working with Comixology. What's that been like?
It's been great. I met David Steinberger and Comixology guys when they first launched Comixology, I believe, because my friend Steve Ellis, he was in my studio at the time, He's the artist on Box 13, which is the one comic that Comixology actually produced and actually published.
It's a great comic.
Yeah. And talking to Steve and David Gallagher, who's the writer, like those guys are so into the digital comics thing. They've been great help and great support for us. But Steve introduced me to the Comixology guys, and they showed me their app, and I was like, yeah, this is it. And at the same time, me and Kurt just started talking about doing a creator-owned thing together just on the side. But I was like looking for a place to put it, like, should we do a web comic? Should we go the independent comic route? And when I saw the new tools that they offered, I was like, this is it, because there are anybody with a computer connection can check the comic out this way. You don't have to be limited to the 3,000 or whatever comic book stores that are around. So, and then just the being able to be a pioneer and figure out new storytelling techniques is really exciting.
Yeah, most of the pioneers died, right?
They got bit by a snake on his way here.
Yeah,
I'm rough. Worried.
Yeah, I'll suck the poison out.
It's the pioneer lifestyle. Well, you say that to every guest we have.
Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'll suck the poison out.
All right, let's go. How does it feel when you finish, you see it on a tablet at someone's house, and you're trying to tell your friends, and you're T9ing, and you can't get the words? And then to be like, it looks greener.
Well, I have an iPod Touch, so I mean, I can download it and see it the way it
is. Oh, so
you're not complete Luddite.
Yeah. You guys are plugged in. Yeah. I've read your Angel Fire page, and I think it's great. It's great stuff.
Cool. So when's the series coming out? You can get the preview now for free.
Yes.
And when is the series starting?
We're trying to launch it in October around the New York Comic Con.
Okay. And do you know yet what the price point is going to be per issue?
Well, we're not sure yet, but it'll be either 99 cents or $1.99. That seems to be the
standard. I don't think we're going to go any higher.
Yeah.
Did you write down a question?
For $1 million.
Oh, okay. Well, this is happening right now. You have a question? Sure, let's take a question.
You're talking about digital comics. Just a quick question. You said, is this written just to be seen on Comixology, or can it be
first and foremost?
We are planning on doing a print version eventually. We just haven't, we haven't gotten to that point.
Do you need to find the paper?
Yeah, we can cut down the trees.
Have a bunch.
I know a great papermaking class.
Would you be reformatting it backwards then from Comics Out?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's going to be, because we're designing it so specifically for the digital format, the print version is going to be fundamentally different in some ways. And that'll be fun. It'll be
Yeah, I mean, each experience will be its own thing.
Yeah.
So what you've seen in the preview will actually be different when you get the first issue.
Yeah.
It'll be different dialogue even, different flow. Even in just the preview, we felt we needed to beef up some scenes. So we were like, well, we can just throw it in there now.
Yeah.
We're not limited to a page. We can just be like, well, now we need six more panels here. So we can just slip that right in. Yeah.
When you do the print version, will you be able to multi-touch it? Will you be able to...
Maybe. I don't know.
It doesn't work with this.
Does that technology exist?
Yeah.
Should we say yes?
We're totally doing it.
We have this cool idea where, if you turn the page, then you can see the next one. I mean, you see all the panels.
Mind blown. Awesome. So check out the free preview now. Download it when it comes out in September or October. And we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah, we do.
All right. We're going to take a slight pause, just sort of chat for a second while James gets set up over there. Does that sound good? Yeah, you're set up?
Yep.
All right, we're doing a new thing. We're taping this. So, okay, guys, let's kick it off with The Stack. The idea of this.
Sorry.
Were you already taping?
Did you say kick it?
To the beast.
Are you taping?
Am I taping, with tape?
Oh, my God. This is ruined.
Rolling.
Thank you. Very good. So we're going to do The Stack, where we've each made a pick, something that particularly stood out to us this week. First thing we're going to do is Pete's pick, which is X-Men Schism #2 of 5. So, Pete, you want to give us the rundown of the series and what you liked about it?
Oh, man, I would love to give a lot of information. No, I wouldn't. That's not how I work. What I really liked about...
Give the least amount of information possible.
Thank you. That's how I work.
This was amazing.
First off, first issue was fantastic. When you have an amazing first issue, you get a little nervous sometimes about the second issue being just as great.
Yes.
I thought it did an amazing job of keeping the momentum. Wolverine drinking at like this dive bar was amazing.
Yeah, you never get to see that.
Oh man, I never get tired of that.
And he's like, oh Bob, I need a beer. Where can I let my
Done. That's what you need for an X-Men comic.
That's what you call a log line.
Yeah.
Just doing a great job of developing this kind of new villain and kind of moving some pieces around that doesn't feel like moving pieces. Amazing stuff.
Justin, what did you think about it?
Moving pieces. It doesn't seem like you're moving pieces. Like a chess game that you come up to like some other time. Like later. It's already started. I like this. I feel like Pete, you like it so much because the villains are children. And you hate children.
I hate kids.
For those of you who haven't picked up X-Men Schism yet, by the way, in case you didn't guess from the title, essentially what's going to happen is there's going to be a split among the X-Men, probably between Cyclops
and... Don't say that! Why would you say that?
They said it going in. They're like...
No, they didn't. They didn't
yes,
say
they did. They said...
It's called previews.
Yeah. Not even that. They're like, read X-Men Schism. Cyclops and Wolverine are going to break up and there's going to be two different teams.
No, that's
afterwards.
Not true.
That is definitely
That is straight up true.
The stories of a custody battle over these evil children.
Pretty much.
It mostly takes place in the courtroom. The X-Men aren't even there.
Yeah, it's basically like Kramer versus Kramer with mutants.
Oh, hey, I like that.
Yeah.
For the record, I don't hate all children. I just hate children that look like little mini Nazis.
Sure.
Fair enough. Fair
cool. Point. It's mainly the mustaches.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, as I was saying, the X-Men are headed for something. Nobody knows what. But right now they're fighting Sentinels that have been giant robots that have been activated all over the world. There are villains massing against them, a new Hellfire Club made up of tiny little evil children.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, something's going on with Wolverine and Cyclops where they seem to be fighting a little bit. But I'm sure that...
the first issue that...
No, but I'm sure that's not leading to anything.
let's be surprised.
Yeah, don't ruin my world.
I think it's so funny.
It's called Schism.
Shut up!
He hasn't looked up that word yet.
All right.
It's very funny when the Hellfire Club scenes where these kids and they're like, they keep talking about how they're like 10 years old, and there are all these old men who are like, what shall we do next, guys? And these children are then like, we're gonna do all this shit, and then they're like, yes. Go get them. And then they just sort of go back to sleep in the room.
Where are the parents?
Yeah.
That's smart.
The parents left the kids to the grandparents, and they started something called a Hellfire Club.
Yeah. That's just smart building.
I will say, actually, you're joking about it, but one of the things that I think is particularly cool about the series is it really is pushing this angle of the older generation versus the younger generation, and that's going on every level of the book. The thing that I really like about it is it's very funny, there's good action, but at the same time, there's a ton of cool character things and different layers that are going on. It makes it a very easy event to get into, but at the same time, it's very complex and rewarding for ongoing fans.
Get off the stick.
You picked it!
And you love it.
Yeah.
And no, I will not get off of its dick.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Who gets Pixie?
What?
I'm assuming the editing, the biggest question is who gets Pixie?
Defines gets.
Yeah.
By gets, sir. Oh,
Jesus Christ. We're going to move on.
He's probably going to be Wolverine.
Probably Wolverine, yeah. He gets all the little girls. I don't mean that how that sounds. Amazing Spider-Man number 666. This is kicking off another event, which is Spider Island. We had Dan Slott. This is actually my pick, I should mention. We had Dan Slott on the show talking about this last week.
Get off its dick.
You're right. This is a great issue. If you have not read Spider-Man in years and years and years, you can jump right in. You can hand this to any reader of any age.
Any age?
Probably not 2 days old.
Thank you.
But even then, they would pick it and be like,
they would enjoy it. It is flavored.
It's great. It's exciting. There's it's there's funny, there's good references to things, but there's also great character work going on. Same as Schism, I think this is a really, really enjoyable comic book, and this is one of the best Spider-Man comic books that has come out in a long time, and I say that having loved what's been going on in Amazing Spider-Man, so
really?
I think it's great. Way better than the stuff that Riley Brown worked on.
Oh, thanks.
There's a hashtag on the cover, a
what?
Twitter hashtag.
There's a Twitter hashtag.
It's this, practically a digital comic.
That's actually the title. Yeah. It's Prelude to Spider Island, hashtag Spider Island.
Stefano's such a show-off, right? I mean,
no, that's...
It's ridiculous. It's
how
not even
so?
Fair. I don't... Like, look at this. This just him drawing Jonah Jameson is more interesting and fun than what 90% of all artists have ever done in their careers. Like, I just want a comic just about Jameson looking at these charts and about his sales going down, or his polls going down. That's enough for me if Stefano draws it.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great, great artist.
Great spreadsheet.
What did you guys think about this? Were you crazy at it?
I don't know. I'm a little nervous about everybody having spider powers. I'm like, I don't know.
If you guys haven't been reading this, the premise here is that everyone in New York who has bed bugs...
Did I pull up Pete?
Yep. Everyone in New York who has bed bugs, they've been supercharged by this villain called the Jackal, so that if you get bitten by a bed bug, you get Spider-Man's powers.
That's brilliant.
So it's like, that's a great idea.
That's pretty cool.
So it's sort of like, oh shit, I have bed bugs. Okay.
That's a nice little
I'll take it as a win some, lose some. I like this a lot as well. There's so much going on in this issue. The Jackal is such a goofy looking dude. He looks like some
the
sort
Grinch?
Of wolf, yeah, like a wolf Grinch combo, and he's like, I'm also a scientist, so he's got a lot going on, which is nice.
Does he still have the little clone mini-me that he used to have back in the day?
I haven't seen
No, he has a bigger,
like,
hulking spider, possibly Kane.
It is Kane, I think it's revealed in this issue.
Yeah, my favorite thing is there's some mysterious character that bursts out of a tube, and they're like, ah, this is a prime specimen. Finally, I got this prime specimen. You don't see who it is. They burst out of the tube, and they immediately shout, how you doing? So I imagine it's probably Joey Tribbiani.
From Friends.
Yeah, from Friends, I'm guessing. Not even Spider-Powers. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, like everyone in New York got Spider-Powers, so the Friends
there you go. Yeah, well, they were on a break. Let's move on. That wasn't Joey. Let's move on. Last pick is your pick, which is Criminal, the Last of the Innocents, number two.
Man, is anyone reading this comic out there?
Yes. I have read that one.
Well, I got it. This is like a film noir sort of pulpy comic, Criminal in general. This arc specifically, you don't have to have read anything beforehand to pick this up. It's sort of taking the Archie Comics relationship, the love triangle there, and making it real pulpy, dark. It's if they grow up and Archie went with Veronica and he hates her now. It's the art is amazing, the writing is amazing. It's like one of the best comics I've picked up in a long time. Really smart, really like intense, just really very, very good.
The art is amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, this is
nice.
There you go. This is a great book. I really can't add anything to it other than it's excellent, and this is, of the Criminal series, I think, probably my favorite ongoing.
Yeah, definitely the best. And it's a great series to begin with. You could give this to someone, and they're like, oh, yeah? You don't like comic books? Well, then read this as a favor to me, because you should like maybe.
Maybe you should have some interest.
And then slowly back away.
Just sort of shove the comic on the ground towards them.
Yeah, and just might force people into doing something.
Yeah.
So if I would like to ice skate, he wouldn't be like, put those skates on, let's go.
No, you'd be like, listen, you got to read 50 other skates before you understand these skates. All right, that's it for the stack. We are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring up Booth Bag. All right.
Booth Man, because I don't touch the questions because that's his thing.
Cool. All right. And if it's your first time at the show, Booth Man lives in the booth. That's why he's dressed that way.
We still got tattoos left, so you get comments.
You're going to get a tattoo if I pick your question.
Oh, yeah. I picked up some...
You don't get to pick what it is. It's my face.
All right. I picked up some Lock and Key temporary tattoos in San Diego, so you're going to get those, too. Special, unique prize.
All right. What would your fake superhero alias be?
Elias. My Uber names would be Elias.
And then in parentheses, making fun of your own personality, hee hee, smiley face.
Oh, that is nice.
Great.
Thank you, Jordan, for writing this. What was that?
What would your alias be? Yeah. But it has to like make fun of yourself.
Your personality.
Great.
Start here? Alright, well, I mean, I have actually written a prose series that I'm working on. Oh. My superhero name is Thrust.
Hello!
I think that sort of says all we need to do. It's a super speed character.
Sure.
That's
why you have that. The lightning bolt.
There. Mine would be Mr. Giant Penis.
Yeah.
That's his villain.
Yeah. Cool. Riley?
Oh, man. I have no idea. I'd like to be the, some time control power so that I could, like, because I'm constantly, you ask Jordan in the audience over here, get my deadlines done on time. Just have more time to, like, do.
So your deadline!
That's perfect. See?
That's why I'm the
man.
That's why you're
the man.
That's great.
Alex, highlighting your own personality.
Oh, geez. The great guy that everybody likes.
Aren't you that already?
All right. That's nice.
Justin.
Oh, great answer. I guess, according to Pete, I'd be the big late asshole. Elias, the big late asshole.
I would have to go with well-spoken or well-read.
I like that in you. I like the or in your superhero.
Yeah.
And your villain would be like, neither.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics and a temp tattoo.
Nice.
Let's get the next question.
What is the most interesting fact about you?
Oh, man. These are
really
These are really sweet questions.
Jeez Louise, Kurt.
Interesting fact about you.
Well, I mean, the thing that comes to mind right now is, I mean, everybody likes Charlie Sheen. I work with celebrities, you know, celebrity photos, so Charlie Sheen, my dad is basically Charlie Sheen right now. He's curing people with his mind. He's got tiger blood. So, I mean,
cool.
I come from the same stock. I don't know if that buys me any points.
Did you just go crazy?
I am a winning.
What? That was nuts.
All right.
I don't know anything we can
do. What's something that people...
The most interesting...
Or interesting. Like, you're... Why, right?
But don't be like, I'm left-handed. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah, I'm not left-handed. Recently, I discovered that an excellent remedy for bug bites, deodorant. Because recently, I got, like, was hanging out at my uncle's pool, and there was a million mosquitoes out there, and I haven't been able to sleep for the past 2 days because my feet are friggin' itching like crazy from all these bug bites. And I looked up some home remedies for bug bites, and apparently deodorant works. So I gave it a shot, and Old Spice.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Now, did that have anything to do with the bug bites, or did you just have to put on some deodorant?
Yeah. Well, now my feet don't smell either. So
that's
two
good.
Two and one.
Oh,
yeah.
Justin, you had Riley Brown on the show. What was the most interesting thing you saw? Oh, you said he hangs out at his uncle's pool a lot.
Why is that? Where's my cousin's birthday? I don't know.
No, man.
Where else would you go?
You cool. Also draw comics.
I mean,
well, yeah, that's kind of given.
That's the everyday.
Yeah.
All right, how about you?
Cueing bow.
Jerk off.
Justin.
Well, when I was five, David Copperfield made me disappear. The magician David Copperfield.
Man, I wish he was better at his craft.
Oh. I came back. No, I disappeared and appeared on this show.
It's been a long time, Justin.
I know. I've been waiting on the stage.
Oh, man, that is interesting. I don't know. When he was saying that, I was thinking about, one time in high school, I invented a cure for canker sores, but I don't think that's particularly interesting.
No, if it's in line with this, like...
Sure. What you got to do, you got to use deodorant, right? And that's the important thing. You put it in your mouth...
That's not actually it.
No, that's not actually it. Here, I'll actually tell you. So I did a report on... you guys are loving this.
No, I...
So I actually did a report
on... We're redefining the term interesting.
Great. I didn't report stomach ulcers.
Great.
Right? Yeah, this is getting
wow,
better.
Wow, you're real precocious kids.
And I found what they use for stomach ulcers is, you know, Pepto-Bismol has a bismuth compound is what it's called. Uh-huh. When I was doing research, I found that canker sores actually have the same kind of thing, are essentially the same as ulcers, but no scientists would agree to that, even though the research that I was looking at showed that. So I came up with, if you put Pepto-Bismol on a little cotton ball and you put it in your mouth for a canker sore, it actually gets rid of it in under a day.
Oh.
That's it.
That's awesome. I did this thing once where I took a playing card and put it in my spokes so my bike sounded like a motorcycle.
That's cool.
And no scientists would back me on that either. Pete,
oh,
he just did an actual research.
Yeah,
he bucked the scientific community as a child.
Yeah, I
would have been like, Alex, come out and play. I made mud pies.
I'd be like, no, I'm curing canker sores.
I have a symposium to get to.
It's tough to compete. I really
just,
oh,
about,
it's easy.
Think about something that itches on your skin. That's a boil you had.
That's a carrot story.
Let me remind you, this is Comic Book Club.
Yeah. Oh, right. I don't know, interesting thing that has to do with comic books is I wrote a fan letter to Tom McFarlane and he published it in Spawn one time.
Oh, cool. Is this like 2 weeks ago? Or?
No, it was back long before.
All right, cool. Nice. Raise your hand if you ask that. You can get some free comics and a temp tattoo. Let's get the next question.
Hopefully. What would be the baddest ass Jordan versus Bird style one-on-one superhero basketball game?
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, Space Jam, but other than that, anybody, actually. We'll just open that up.
Jordan versus Bird.
Yeah, like big, really good. Probably Mr. Fantastic would be great on one side.
That's the question.
And Plastic Man.
Mr. Fantastic and Plastic Man, that's pretty good.
That would be good.
Yeah, but that would just be, like, silly.
Yeah.
But what about, like,
one of them would be pretty funny.
Now, let's come up with a serious basketball game.
Yeah.
Let's match
skills. Really intense.
I'd like to see Galactus playing against, like, the, you know, what, the Anti-Monitor with Ego the Living Planet as the basketball.
That's awesome. That's a splash page.
Draw that.
Yeah. I know. I'd love to.
With just the words being like, are you guys fucking kidding me? Coming out of Ego's mouth as Galactus.
And if it can have a logo in the bottom that says Space Jam 2, that would be great.
Oh, man, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, that'd be great. Draw that. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics and temp tattoo. Let's get the next question.
Been watching Space Jam this year?
Sure. If you could dress one of your co-hosts, including Boothman, as a superhero, who would you dress as, what hero, and why?
Wow. You guys are really getting into it.
Yeah, normally it's like, who's taller, Superman or Batman? But not today.
Superman.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, thanks. Okay. So, who would we dress and in what costume?
And why?
Yeah.
I would go with Boothman because you're already dressed excellent. But, Mr. Mix-a-Click outfit?
Yeah. And you could just.
Right?
How would you get rid of me?
You haven't figured it out yet.
Find me a house.
Find me a house.
Find you a house.
Yeah, you forgot.
Yes. Pete, and I dress him as Pixie.
Because
I hate
it. It would be funny.
Because it would be funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pixie, White Queen for Pete.
Sexy, yeah.
Silver Sable.
Mystique.
From the movies.
Yeah.
Blue paint. Nothing but the
scales.
Little thorns you already have underneath your clothes.
All of those are good answers to your amazing question. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
I think this is...
Are we out of packs?
Yeah, we're out of packs.
Okay.
All right, then we're into a lightning round where the first answer is always correct, so let's hit it.
Which movie would you rather see? Troll Hunter or Hobo with a Shotgun?
Hobo with a Shotgun.
Correct.
Troll Hunter.
Incorrect.
Oh, wow, that is just being...
Who are the top three sexiest celebrities from a cat's point of view?
Kate Upton.
What?
Kate Upton.
Okay.
One.
You're in Victoria's Secrets. Two more.
From a cat's perspective.
Cat's perspective.
I'm thinking voluptuous.
You're thinking, yeah, able, like to provide, able to provide a lot of milk?
Suckle. It's an interesting.
You think a cat looks up with a big breast and over and is like, I'm coming for those.
She's on all fours? Yes.
Does a cat instantly see a nipple as like, I'm getting in that?
Yeah. I mean, don't you?
Huh? Don't I do, but I'm a human. I don't expect milk to come out.
Are you?
You're right.
Prove you're not a cat.
This question was like innocent.
I don't know how
nipples.
Yeah. Tigras. Wait, that's not a celebrity, that's a comic book character. Let's get the next question.
What superhero is this? And then there's a picture of a guy going with what looks like holding a pen or a knife.
I think it looks like Thor holding a hammer upside down.
Yep, that's correct.
Thank you. That's the science community, scientific community.
All right, last one. This was the one taken after the fact. What do you think would happen to you if you fell in the Gowanus Canal?
Well, we've already established that.
Yeah. I mean, squid powers, obviously.
Squid powers.
What do you guys think?
Well, beyond that, I truly think if someone fell in there, people would be like, he's gone. And it would just be like, no one would make any attempt to help, lest they be pulled in.
Yeah.
Apparently, you would make...
I think that's actually true. So.
Nobody would go with that super
hipster.
Would make
bubbling frog noises.
Yeah, that's what you heard that night.
We've talked so much about the iguanas. They're actually draining it like a block from my house.
Oh, really?
And it's
disgusting. Smells so bad.
It's disgusting. But the way that they're cleaning the water, because the water drains into the ocean from the canal, and the pump
that's
broke
healthy.
In like, they put a new pump in like 1998, and it broke like 4 months later.
Yeah.
Which is why it's such a mess now. And so the way they're doing it is they're pumping the water out from the drainage ditch and putting it in a big, like block-long dumpster. And they have three Brita-like filters. Like, straight up, it's like a giant Brita. And then the still brown water comes out. And a dude who's there, like, 24 hours a day has a pool skim where he pulls, like, pieces of garbage out of it. And that's fucking science.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should have saved that for your interesting thing back then.
Yeah. Good point.
All right, that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, man. Guys. We are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Nailed it.
There's so much.
All right, the big news that was out today, and I guess this is a spoiler, unless you've read anything that came out today, but there's going to be a new Ultimate Spider-Man, and the new Ultimate Spider-Man is going to be a new character who's not Peter Parker.
Why is it called Ultimate Spider-Man?
Because he's going to dress in a Spider-Man costume and he's the ultimate version of it. His name is Miles Morales, and he is half African-American, half Latino. And apparently, for some reason, a lot of people got upset about that. What's your thought on it? Are you excited about this new Spider-Man?
I think it's cool. My question is, what was wrong with, like, was the old Spider-Man not ultimate enough? If this was truly the ultimate Spider-Man,
right.
What about the other guy?
Yeah. I mean, I think as far as Marvel said, they were looking at it as an opportunity to do something with more diversity.
No, I think it's I think it's a good idea.
It's kind of stemmed from the Donald Glover controversy where everybody was backing him to be, cast him as the new Spider-Man, and then they were like,
Well, actually, Bendis said, Brian Michael Bendis, who's writing the title, said in USA Today that he saw the second season opener for Community, where briefly Donald Glover was wearing the Spider-Man costume, and said, that's really cool. I would like to see that in a comic. Wait a second. I write comics.
Yeah.
I do that.
I write.
That's his audition. Yeah.
So they made it happen.
I think it's cool. I think it's interesting the way a lot of people are so down on it. Obviously, racism being what it is, but why Spider-Man? There's been such
obviously
a...
racism.
No, well, that's well, I mean, yeah. Why else would people be angry? But like, there have been so many. That's been such a thing lately. Like, there was Black Captain America was a big comic, and that was sort of controversial back in the day. Isaiah Bradley, no one that wasn't a big like. Let's be angry the whole time. And all these other characters are doing that has happened to a lot of other characters. So I don't know. Is it something about Spider-Man that makes people, especially like? We were reading one earlier before the show, and it was like, I'm going to burn all my comic books and all this. And it's like,
what? Were they cold?
Yeah, they were like,
comedy being what it is.
Please help us.
That's a clown number right there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't get it. At end of the day, same thing as anything. It comes down to good stories. If it's good stories, who really cares?
I think it's a good opportunity to differentiate the Ultimate series from the regular 616 series.
What's the name of the new one again?
Miles Morales.
Oh, I liked other, Peter Parker's saying Miles.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too.
But I mean, it's not like all the stories are going to be like, well, I better solve all these black crimes. It's like he's going to be doing the same thing. Yeah. Like, well, I don't know why people are so often.
I hope they're not going to do that, but I do hope. He's like, well, this crime is half black, half Latino, so I can address that.
This is my jurisdiction. I'll chase the Latino first, and then
stop halfway. The thing about it, though, is that I do hope he's differentiated in some way, character-wise, from Peter Parker. That would be nice. If there is something that does make him a little bit of a character, gets the heart of what makes Spider-Man Spider-Man, but at the same time makes him a different person, I think that would be cool.
Another question, in so many of sort of events, like an event like this, like eventually it goes back to Peter Parker being Spider-Man. Isn't that going to be sort of fucked up?
Well, we've had
enough of this experiment in diversity, let's go back to all this.
That's the problem is... Comic book writers have such a hard time resisting the opportunity to bring a guy back from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, DC recently, last year, I guess, had that problem where they wanted to bring back all these classic characters that have since been replaced by, a more diverse cast.
Keeping Adam as the new Korean Adam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that was great. They're listening to it, and even that whole controversy about the 1% women in DC's new relaunch as opposed to 12% women, which were working there before. And that became like such a big thing, but it's like, I think it's just happening. I think we just need to just kind of let it happen and not harp on these events. I mean, but by the same token, he's Miles Morales, he's half black, half Hispanic. It seems like they're getting two for one. can we just make him black?
Yeah.
Is that really that bad?
I know, I wanted in the development meeting, they were like, Black Spider, and they were like, wait.
What are you saying? A different demographic here.
What if he's a quarter black? Follow me on this. 60th Native
Keep
American, because we
this.
All sort of
yeah.
are. Who else?
Yeah.
He's half cat. So he can be a real booby chaser.
That's where he got his spider powers.
But I just think inevitably when Peter Parker comes back and is like, all right, let me just get back into the...
When that happens, at least for a little while, they will keep both characters around. I'm sure they will.
Well, whenever they replace Spider-Man, they always backtrack. It's the Ben Reilly clone, or it's the Spider-Man 2099, which I don't know if you guys have read the Time Storm.
Yeah.
Which I love, the old Miguel O'Hara Spider-Man.
Yeah. I love that series.
But then they backtracked it, and they undid everything and made it just like Peter Parker's origin, except it's the future. So it's like, can we just keep the characters? And
Uncle Ben was shot with a laser gun.
I think
Aunt May's a robot.
And the thing is, though, it's not even like regular Peter Parker. It's Ultimate Peter Parker, which is a fundamentally different character. And so, like, let the Ultimate Universe be its own thing, and then the Marvel Universe. Like, the more different they are, the better. Otherwise, what's the point of having two of them?
The weird part for me is, like, why do we gotta kill off a character to get a new one. You know what I mean? Like, can't we just make another character?
Well, the other thing that's kind of interesting about this that we don't really have full information about yet is there's the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon that's coming out. And they have shown some footage of it, but they've never shown any footage of Spider-Man outside of his mask, and they've announced all of the other voice actors, but not the voice actor for Spider-Man. So the rumor flying around right now is this Miles Morales character is going to be the Spider-Man in the Ultimate Spider-Man
cartoon. What's his costume look like? Is it the traditional one or is it the movie one?
It's the traditional Ultimate Spider-Man one, because it's the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
That's confusing enough.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think actually that would be very cool, because that's going to reach millions of people, that cartoon, clearly. So that's going to be a much larger audience, and it will retroactively make
Miles
a decision.
Or Peter?
What?
Will he be named Miles or Peter?
I don't know.
Or they,
He'll be named Peter Miles Morales Parker. Just make it super confusing.
Yeah.
Let's move on to something a little lighter. Pete, you went to see Cowboys and Aliens this week.
Yes, I did. Fun movie, guys. If you want to see James Bond teamed up with Indiana Jones, kick the shit out of some aliens. Go fucking see
Man, that's
it.
Awesome. Yeah. Roger Moore and River Phoenix were in that movie. What?
Did you mean Shia LaBeouf?
Nope. Young Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
That was real.
Wow.
Let's keep going.
Nice. Those weren't the actual characters.
What? I saw the movie.
Yeah, no, you're right. Fair okay, point. So. It was good, though?
A lot of great action stuff. You know, you didn't get any more than that. It wasn't like amazing story with great character development. It was just
so it was bad.
Sometimes popcorn movies are fun, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can shut up your brain for a little while and enjoy some stuff.
Yeah. I saw Attack the Block this week as well.
How was that?
Which was really good. The Joe Cornish movie. Edgar Wright produced it, about a group of kids in poor South London, Brixton, who have to sort of repel this alien invasion, and it's really good. The coolest thing, it's not a comedy, really. It's a little bit funny. But the monsters in it are so well done. It's like some puppet, like sort of Henson-esque puppets, and it's all black. I think they did some CGI on the fur to make it, like, really void-like. And then just the mouth with these, like, turquoise teeth that glow in the dark. And so it's these, like, spinning teeth. It's just really... really cool. Really sort of terrifying.
Great. I've been watching a lot of Friday Night Lights recently. we're just talking about
you and everybody else. You know, that's a pop culture. It's a geeky topic.
Cool. Fun fact, actually, about Cowboy and Aliens. That is the highest grossing Fred Van Lente movie ever.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, moving on to a little more negative news. Walking Dead, the TV show, has lost Frank Darabont. They lost him. He is out there somewhere. If you see him, he misses his parents. He responds to the name Frank. What do you guys think about that? Frank Darabont no longer on Walking Dead.
Didn't even know that.
I know they were talking about maybe keeping him on.
He might be on in some capacity. It isn't quite clear.
Get on there for a few minutes just to get turned into a zombie.
The reason I heard was because the TV schedule was more grueling than he anticipated.
Right.
So if that's the truth, that's cool because I feel like he set up enough with the first season. We can go forward. You know, I mean, like, the show can go on without him. If he wants to, I think it can.
Yeah.
It probably will crawl, it will bite, it will drag its carcass.
I don't know.
Five more seasons at least.
Five more? Wow.
Really?
It seems weird to me that a guy like Frank Darabont would leave. Like, I think they were shooting the third episode or so. Uh-huh. Like, why is it, was the... grueling. I think there's more to this story than his
being a little behind the scenes.
I think he was pushed out.
Yeah. Or Andrew Lincoln was just like super annoying to him. And he was like, stop it.
Yeah. Definitely. Or maybe he was scared of zombies the whole time. So. they're getting really close, you guys. I gotta get out of here. They're always at the camera.
Another thing going on is movie news. Green Lantern 2 is apparently moving forward, and Warner Brothers has said the sequel, don't worry you guys, is going to be darker and grittier than the first movie.
That's what I wanted. I wanted it to be
Ryan Reynolds darker and grittier.
What do you guys think about that? You want to see a darker, grittier Green Lantern?
I think in the sequel they should just hand you a video game control and put you in a room and you can just play it. Rather than having to go see a movie that you want to be good, you can just play a game.
Or just go watch The Change-Up with green glasses.
Or
go see The Change-Up.
No, you just green and red. And what's his name? Can be Sinestro.
Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
Or you go into a dark room, you put on the glasses, and then they kick you in the nuts.
Who's
that? That's what a lot of these DC movies they've been saying is like, we want to go in a darker, grittier direction, right? Mm-hmm. Which seems...
that's their go-to.
I guess it works for Batman, but that's kind of Batman's thing.
Yeah, I guess so. It's actually a weird thing to me in particular because Green Lantern, which was kind of trying to ape the previous versions of superhero movies, did the worst out of all the superhero movies this summer, as opposed to Thor and Captain America that are both relatively bright and sunny and did well.
Marvel does particularly well with their movies is by not doing dark and gritty,
right.
like the Iron Man movie blew everybody away because it's like, hey, this is funny. We're gonna have fun with this. We're gonna have a character with some personality you want to hang out with, and it because there's something intrinsically goofy about superheroes putting on goofy costumes with their goofy powers, fighting people in you know, all over the universe. And especially Green Lantern, whose weakness is the color yellow, and like, let's make him.
It's not yellow.
As a writer,
it's the spectrum.
The
of...
point, I mean, you know, that's.
Pete and I were actually talking about this before the show. I don't know if you guys know the original Green Lantern, Alan Scott. His weakness was wood. His weakness was wood. So one of his arch enemies was Sportsmaster because he could hit him with a baseball bat.
That's textbook.
Darker and grittier. That's darker and
that's
grittier.
What
you say sportier and grittier?
Darker.
Sportier and woodenier.
Last little thing we're going to talk about before we move on is Marvel has talked about there may be a Doctor Strange movie moving forward.
Is that Patrick Dempsey going to play? Because I know he was lobbying to play Doctor Strange.
Can't Buy Me Love's Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, maybe.
What? He's got a little gray in his hair, right?
I mean, I think he needs something that'll turn his career around completely. You know, leave behind Grey's Anatomy. You know,
Dr. McTeague.
No, Can't Buy Me Love.
He'll never leave that behind.
Yeah, my other problem.
Loverboy.
He doesn't have a mustache.
Yeah,
can he?
Can
he?
Yeah.
That's all they have costumes for.
All right, they could CGI a mustache.
That would be brilliant.
What?
You don't say the same one you have
a Marvel boy. That's true. He didn't have
All right. Soul.
Yeah.
And that's it for the week.
They say Loverboy is a Doctor Strange prequel. So I think they can just really move
There's
on.
A lot of things that are Doctor Strange prequel. That's seriously it for the week indeed.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Peter LePage.
Mr. Peter LePage.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 Simply raise your hand. Yes, first hand up guy. Come on up. How are you? What's your name?
Reed.
Reed, audience. Audience, Reed.
All right, hold on 1 second. Okay, this is your gift card that you will be winning very shortly. I just have to reach into my pocket and get the other questions. All right, great. So in honor of Power Play, today's trivia is on sports and comics. So how this is going to work.
NFL Super Pro.
Wait for it. Jeez, everybody's silent. So how this works is I read you the question. You listen to all three possible answers.
Okay.
Go 3 for 3. Woo. Gift card yours. All right. Thank you, Blue Man.
That music is so tense.
I love multiple choice.
All right, here we go. Sportsmaster, an old DC villain. His real name is it A, Crusher Croc, B, Jim Legend, or C, Richard Simmons? So it's either A or it's B.
I guess it's A.
A is Lawrence Crusher Croc.
Croc?
Yeah, I know. It's almost cooler than Sportsmaster.
Almost.
Crocker.
NFL superhero.
Super Pro,
sorry.
Yeah.
Was a short-lived comic about a player who survived a freak accident and had his, is it A, an indestructible helmet, B, a near indestructible football uniform, or C, a super jock strap? So it's either A or it's B. Yes!
Wow, how did the story move forward?
Great. You got, also, you got to hang on to
it.
Yeah, they're going right. to pay off.
So, the annoying Subway sandwich ads in all the DC comics has athletes.
Oh, those were started. I forgot, right?
Has athletes teaming up with who? Is it A, the Justice League, B, Teen Titans, or C, Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew? So it's either A.
Superman and Batman was on one of them. Green Lantern was the other.
So.
It's A.
A, Justice League! Yeah.
Alright,
what?
Did Alan McCracker start? Isn't he drawing those Subway things though?
I don't know.
All
I know is they're delicious.
I avoid reading.
They're great, guys. As we all know, thank you for coming up. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh man, a lot of great stuff coming up. There's Punisher number one that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Scalp is coming on. Really excited about them. Those are my two.
Okay, it sounded like that.
Say them very clearly.
What are you looking forward to with Punisher?
It's Punisher number one, so I'm
looking forward to getting started.
Yeah, just removing it, you know, back to basics.
I hear
it's got guns and shooting.
Yeah, by issue six, he's gonna be like, maybe I should use a gun.
Yeah.
Very
I don't know if I can wait that long.
No, it's actually going to be great. It's Greg Rucka is writing it, and it's art by Mario Cecchetto. Is that how I pronounce his name? Anybody?
Sure.
Anybody?
Maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, the art's great. Writer's great. Very excited for the book. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I've been really into Batman Gates of Gotham, which is a nice Scott Snyder, who's doing
Batman Detective.
Detective's Comics, which has been really good. I feel like this is an arc they never got to because of the reboot, so they released it as a mini. And the issue that came out this past week of Detective Comics is sick, and that's just as good. So definitely pick that up. Also, I want to say, did you know Scalp is coming to a close in issue 60?
What? No, what? No, why? No.
I want to tell you that because I know you don't pay attention.
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's true.
No, why would they do that?
Oh, hey.
Seriously, what's the cause of that?
It's all the good natural end of the story.
Yeah.
Only last 6 months.
Yeah.
And they said because Pete didn't...
They're not pulling the plug earlier.
They said Pete didn't buy it 1 week, and so
that's... No, that's not true. That's not true. I bought it every week. Every week.
They said Pete didn't believe enough, so he opened it. That's what they said.
No way.
Now they have
it's not true.
Oh, you didn't love enough with your heart.
No, it's not
true. That's it.
They're canceling it because the whole thing with Native Americans in America was solved. So
yeah,
it's fine now.
Wow. The whole thing.
That whole thing. My pick.
We're talking about social issues.
Yeah. I said it right up top, you guys. We're gonna do a Snyder-a-thon because I'm really looking forward to Severed number one from Image is coming out tomorrow. It's a book by Scott Snyder and a bunch of other people. It's an American sort of gothic horror title, which I'm very interested. It's very cool. Looks like it's going to play to Snyder's strengths of stuff happening in the past, very well researched, but also a more realistic take on horror. So I think this should be really cool. Riley, what are you looking forward to?
Thunderbolts, next issue of Thunderbolts is coming out this week, and that comic's been blowing me away recently. New issue of Avengers Academy with Christos Gage, who
is really doing great.
Yeah, I worked on those characters recently in Spider-Man, and that's comic's been awesome. And then also there's a new printing of Essential Spider-Man, the first volume of Essential Spider-Man, which has some of me and Kurt's favorite comic books ever in there, like Stan Lee on Spider-Man back in the day. They just don't write I love Dan's stuff nowadays, but like Spider-Man back in the 60s was just such an angry kid, you know? And like the sarcasm comes out so beautifully with Stan Lee.
It makes you wonder the way he wrote those, like what he's like if he ever let like the facade come down. Is he a psychopath?
Oh no, well this is like me and Kurt's favorite issue that we always talk about. We always use it as an example is, I think, was it?
It's Jack Kirby. It's one of the very rare stories that Jack Kirby drew.
It's
number 8, I believe.
No, it's one of the annuals.
It's Human Torch throwing a party.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I'm gonna impress all the chicks with my flame powers. Here I am, I've got a cool car. And Spider-Man's like, look at this jerk.
Spider-Man
I'm
just swinging
by. I'm gonna
make
a giant web bat and shoot it through the window and mess this kid's party up. And that's the whole story. The whole story is, this guy's cooler than me. I'm gonna go mess up his party and show off in front of the chicks.
And like, Stanley was an adult when he wrote
this. Adultish.
Yeah. If he ever could be considered.
Yeah. Kurt, what are you looking forward to?
I would have said Punisher because Greg Rucka on it is intriguing because I liked some of what Rick Remender was doing in the past, but I didn't love loathed Garth Ennis' stuff.
Oh, no.
What did you say? What did you say out loud?
Sorry.
Are you serious? Punisher Man?
Max? You're talking about Punisher Max?
What I am looking forward to is Flashpoint. Finally, you know, one more issue after tomorrow's issue, and then it'll all be done, and I can read it all finally, because I have it all, but I haven't read it.
I hate to disappoint you.
I know. But
I hope something happens in this issue.
I'm a huge Flash fan, really? So I have to read it.
As a Flash fan myself, it's depressing.
As a Flash fan, can I recommend you read Kid Flash Lost?
Yeah,
which is
that's actually what I'm really
great.
Looking for.
That's great.
It's great. It's
that's
so exciting.
Gates,
it's awesome.
Right?
It's Sterling Gates. Yeah. It's hilarious,
great.
And it's everything you
the
want.
The art's amazing in that, too.
Yeah,
see, that's
really
what
good.
I'm really hoping for, is that series will be good, or the one-shot of Reverse Flash will be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fine. No. Not so much. You guys, plug some stuff. What should people check out?
Well, Power Play, like you mentioned before, you can download it now on Comixology. Just go through their website or through their app.
PowerPlayComic.com is the website, and we'll be putting up all sorts of stuff about this. Like today, we put up Riley's first appearance here on Cable Deathpool episode. So we'll be putting up stuff,
awesome.
All sorts of promotional things. We put up some wallpapers and things like that.
That's pretty much it. I've been working on this so much, I haven't had time to do much else recently.
Cool. Yeah, no, I mean, the sun, I hear, is good. We're going to check that out tomorrow.
Yeah, no good.
Try to go outside.
Overrated. It's been in my face too much lately.
Yeah, not a fan. Guys, a couple of things before we go. You can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Pete, you have a couple of things to plug, right?
Yeah, friend us on Facebook. You can hear about all the great guests that we have on the show. And the next Big City Drinking Jaw is going to be Wednesday, August the 24th, I believe. So if you're an artist and want to draw stuff, they do a lot of cool stuff there.
Cool. Yeah. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Riley for being on the show.
Yeah!
We want to thank Chris.
Yeah!
Who's Dan? But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.